Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers. I had the great opportunity today to talk to Miss Janessa Durrani, and I don't know about you, but I have been one of those people who I've had multiple times where I ask myself, what do I want to be when I grow up? And that's why I brought Miss Janessa on the show today. You know, we've all had those moments that we were told, like, we had to figure out what we wanted to be back when we were 18. And maybe the rug got pulled out from underneath us. And when we had our dream job, maybe you've just stayed home and took care of the kids. And now the kids are older now. And you're just like, what do I do with myself? Or maybe you're just like, you know what, I'm in a job right now, and where I am right now is not where I want to be. Well, Miss Janessa talks about all the things of how to get ourselves ready to get ready so we get out of our own damn way and we start to make some moves so that we can really start to live a more fulfilled life versus putting everything on to that someday list. And we all know that someday lists sometimes never happened. So have a listen to today's podcast and let me know how this is landing with you. All right, magic makers, enjoy the episode. Hey, magic makers, a great iTunes review of the week. I want to thank Miss Robin for leaving this awesome review. She says, great information, humorous host. If you're over 40, you need this information. Listening here can save you time and frustration with regards to your health. Kim is a great host with valuable information and humor infused. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Robin Nutritionist. Yeah, that is my hope and goal of this show, is that I'm able to give great information to you either via a solo episode or by the multitude of amazing guests that I've been able to have on the show. I want women over 40 to be like, you know what? Sometimes life, you just need to take a step back and laugh. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at just what life throws our way from time to time. Because if we can't laugh at ourselves, who can we laugh at? So thank you so much, Robin, for that amazing review. And if you're listening here, do me a favor. Reviews are what fuels my ratings with iTunes. It also helps me to better understand the information that I'm bringing to you. So I would love and appreciate if you gave a review, and I will read it here on the show. And if you don't know how to do it, do me a favor. Reach out to me. I am here to help you facilitate that. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the show.
Magic makers. I don't know about you. I know that I've had a career change. And when I did have a career change and I told my husband I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, he literally rolled his eyes at me and walked out of the room. We have a woman here, just Janessa Durrani, who works with women just like you, who wake up in their midlife and they're like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Or, hey, by the way, you're laid off. And so here's an opportunity for you to reinvent yourself. Or three, maybe you stayed home, took care of the kids for X number of years. And now you're ready to be like, what does mom do now? What's my second, third, 20th chapter? So we brought Janessa on the show because I'm sure many of you are feeling like this. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. And that is absolutely the world that I feel like everyone I know, like my hottest Instagram post lately was, do you know what you want to be when you grow up? And everyone's like, no, I'm still figuring that out and so forth. And I think it used to be that we felt like we were the only ones that had that feeling. Mm-hmm. And now realizing like, oh, this is a thing. And it's rough. It's rough because we're good at doing all the things and being on top of it. And that's showing that you might not have. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Magic Makers, I think we can talk about anything by now. Have you been struggling to lose weight, especially around the belly? You know, it just feels like the weight just settles there and it moves in and it just won't move out. You have brought this up to your doctor thinking that something is definitely wrong and they tell you you need to eat more, eat less, and exercise more. And you're like, well, I've been doing that and nothing has worked. And then the worst is when your doctor pats you on the knee and just says, oh, honey, it's menopause. Eye roll. Seriously, ladies, it is not your fault. And it's not fair. There are so many myths and misconceptions out there about belly fat. And it is really hard to know what works and what actually doesn't work. Don't worry, I got you. Help is on the way. In this free masterclass I have upcoming called Cracking the Belly Fat Code, I will teach you everything you need to know what the heck is belly fat, and finally, how to get rid of this stubborn belly fat so that you no longer feel like you're stuck with it for life. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, do me a favor, grab a spot on the waitlist so when all the juicy details come out, you'll be the first person to know. Enjoy the episode.
Well, I laugh about this because I think about it, you know, especially our generation, we were one of like, we were like that second wave who went to college. And you always felt like, at least I did, naively, felt that when I was 18, I was going to determine what I was going to do for my 25 years to get my gold watch and, you know, retire off into the sunset. Yet, you know, I've had multiple career iterations and no, like even college doesn't tell you like, hey, girl, you might be going to school for nursing or marketing or whatever, but maybe in 10 years, you're going to make a left turn or a right turn, or maybe hell, you're still going to be doing this. And I don't think we discussed that.
No. And I think for me, my own father had the same job.
Yes.
From day one. Mm-hmm. Until the gold watch.
Yeah.
And retired. And that was the thing. I remember I got an award in my first job and I like sent him a picture of it. And he's like, oh, you should save that in case you ever look for another job. And I was like, in case? Like, oh my God, is this what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life? And in my situation, I chose my profession, my first profession, when I was 10.
Ah,
I stood up at Debbie Seabrook's birthday party and declared to all the girls there in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, that I was moving to the big city to become an interior designer. I was never getting married because I wasn't making dinner for anyone, but I was going to adopt a daughter and I was going to name her Brooklyn, and we were going to live in Brooklyn, of course. And so I did everything, high school, middle school, high school, everything, college, went to design school. Everything was on this. Like I had blinders on. Mm. Everyone in the world was like, you know, they don't get paid much. Like, who do you think you are moving to, you know, I was going to have to move 1500 miles away, so on and so forth. I did everything to get to my dream job. And I did. And I was loving it until I didn't.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
what the hell?
I don't, what? No one talks about dreaming forward. Like you have mm-hmm. one thing. You pick the one thing and that's what you're going to do and so forth. And mine came earlier. So I have been iterating for 25 years, but many have held on, or, you know, they took the hiatus for I'm going to be a parent. Mm-hmm. And then that gave them the reprieve. Like, I don't love doing that anyway. So this is, and then they come back and are like, well, now what?
Yeah.
So yeah, it is. And then there's this whole fallacy around the fact, like, you know, I paid good money for this college degree, or my yes. parents paid good money for this college degree. So I should be loving this.
Right. I should yeah. be loving this.
And I need to use it even if I hate it. Like this is things that the professions that are available to us now didn't even exist when we went to college. Like, none of this was even a thing. There was like five or six things that people did right. when they came out of
doctor,
school back then.
Lawyer, engineer, you know, some type of factory work. Like that's all that you could potentially be when you grew up. Cause I remember I went to business school and I always loved the gym. I always loved working out. But back then the only thing I could do with fitness was be a gym teacher. And I was like, well, I ain't gonna be a gym teacher. And I just literally just like pushed it aside. Cause I was like, that's not what I want to be.
Exactly. And so, and no one is there saying like, oh, these are your skills. This is your superpower. This is your zone of genius and so forth. They're like, we had a book, like our guidance counselor gave us an aptitude test of like, I don't know where that, and it came out. And I remember this kid that I graduated with, it said on his aptitude test, it said clergy. I'm like, that's not really something that we like.
Right. That's not an aspirational job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you kind of like just so you declared at the birthday party, like you kind of know if you feel called to go into that work.
And then otherwise we had the book of like all the professions and then what their
code
what
was,
they would make and so forth. And it was like a friend of mine who was like wicked smart. She just went through and found the one that like had the most amount of money. I was like, that's what I'll do. And I'm just like, all of this seems wrong. Like it just seemed backwards even then. But I was sure that this is what I was going to be doing when I was, 93. Like I was going to love it so much. I was going to just do it forever.
Oh yeah. I was going to write the next like plop fizz fizz commercial. That was what my job was going to
be. I love it.
Yep. And I remember I was at this point, I was like 21 and I was living in New York at the time. And I took the train into the city for my internship. I literally looked around and I was like, I saw people who were probably in their 30s, but looked like 500. And I was like, is this my life? Is this my life? Like, I'm going to wake up at the crack of dawn, get on this train, commute into the city, hoof it from wherever it was, from the train station to my job, and then come back again. I'm like, is this my life? And I just was like, I always had that feeling. Yeah, like I didn't know any different. I never liked the 9-to-5. I knew that about myself. Like I hated someone telling me like, you need to be here at this time and you can't leave until this time. Even if you've done everything I've asked you to do, you can't leave. And I was like,
exactly.
I'm like, what is that all about?
Even now when my friends are like, oh, I was 5 minutes late, so I have to stay 5 minutes early. I'm like, or 5 minutes late. I'm like, is that still a thing? Like, are we just like working towards our value and so forth? And that's what I want everyone to be able to get to, where they're not like
looking at the
beholden
clock,
beholden to a, like I have to put my time in. The other concept is that we grew up with this idea that work had to be hard.
Yes,
you got to work hard.
I have to hustle, grind.
If you're not like depleted by the end of the day.
Oh God, yeah.
Really? Did you, was that useful? Did you actually work? Like, it's okay to like be energized at the end of your work day. Like, what a concept to have that.
Or have enough energy to want to play with your kids. Or hey, if your spouse was like, hey, do you want to go to a movie? You're not like, I'm exhausted. Let's just watch Netflix.
Exactly. And living for that weekend, like, it's kind of like, you want to create the life that you're not wanting to take a vacation from. You know, like vacation should be bonus, not like a place where you're going and trying to.
You're on the calendar, like counting down the days.
Exactly. Because I'm going to have the life will be literally sucked out of me by that day. And so I'm going to have to go and like pump myself up. So, yeah.
So, now everyone who's listening here, like I'm hoping that you don't feel this way, but if you are feeling this way, that is why I brought her on the show so that we can help you figure this stuff out. Whether maybe you're sitting here listening at work and you're just like, this place fucking sucks. Or maybe your kids are, going to college or they're going into high school and they're not going to need you around as much. And maybe you're like, what should mom do? Or maybe you got what a lot of people got. Hey, your job has been, I can't remember what the new politically correct term is, but you're no longer needed. So get the hell out and we'll give you 2 weeks to give you 2 weeks severance. Good luck.
Exactly. So in all of those situations, where do you go from here? I think even if you came on listening, thinking, I think everything is fine. There's so many women I talk to that, don't get me wrong, Janessa, I love my life. I have a good job. It pays me well. I have a nice house. I have beautiful kids. We have the two cars, the picket fence and so forth. But And that always gives me like goosebumps.
Because you're like, there's that like hole.
There's that like that edge of like, but I want more. Mm. And there's this feeling that more is like they're being gluttonous. Like, how would you need more than this? This is perfectly fine. And it's like, why can't we have a life of and instead of but? Like, why can't we have a job? And I hate the word job because job just seems like work. Like there's, it's like, why can't we have a role
that
pays us, but also gives us that flexibility, that gives us an opportunity to make an impact? I feel like at this age, we're at this place of like, just getting a job isn't enough. Like I want to actually be useful. And I want to, especially to all the moms out there who have been at home and have been like, holy hell, I have given and given and given and given. And now they're leaving me, the audacity of them to leave me. And now what am I going to do? And you have to channel. And I feel like so many women just stay busy so that they don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. You're going to transition. Even if you love your job right now, you're going to go into retirement. And we all know the people in retirement. There are those who are playing Candy Crush and solitaire all damn day.
Yeah.
To what end? Like, we want to have usefulness. We want to have an impact. We want to give back. And we want to. So even if you came on and thought, no, I'm all set, I want everyone to be aware of how much we do just automatically. Mm. Like we keep, it's kind of like you getting on the train. I had the same experience. I was on the train. I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do for the freaking, like, it was fun for a while. Like I come from a town of 1700 people in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, having a subway that takes me to work. I was pretty darn cool until it was like, oh my gosh, I feel like we're just zombies, like walking, you know, you get off and you just all following each other and so forth. And I think we have to stop. It's almost like you have to clap your hands and be like, I got to wake up. Similar to what you were saying. We wake up one day and it's like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
This isn't what I had planned. And I think that everyone is exactly where they're supposed to be right now. But I want them to have the awareness to then choose where they go next. Because there's a lot of things that we, you know, circumstances, you know, we've moved, people have divorced, we got this job, we moved here, we had kids, like things that we couldn't have ever determined when we made our life plan of like, you know, me not wanting to make dinner for everyone and I'm going to, you know, adopt a child and so forth. Clearly, a lot of those things changed along the way and for the better. But there are times when we just wake up and like, how did I get here? And is this where I want to, where do I want to go next? And that's where so many women, I feel, are in this place of like, I know that this isn't it. They can't quite put their fingers on, you know, and so we focus on so often what we don't want. I'm sure this is with your clients as well. I don't want to be exhausted anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be weak anymore. I don't want to weigh this much anymore. I don't want all the things. But the way our subconscious mind works is that it doesn't understand the negative. So it just hears, I want to be tired.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be bored. I want to weigh this much and so forth. And so it goes out and looks for all the opportunities to keep you right where it is. So the first step is really just understanding, what do you actually want?
Yeah.
I want more fulfillment. I want more flexibility. I want more time. I want more connection. There's so many people that came home to work and that works for some, and for some it doesn't. And so what is it that you actually want? And then you can start focusing on where that is and so forth.
You know, it's funny. The other part is like you say what you actually want. And I think a lot of people don't ever take the time to like dig in there, because you might get this surface level answer of like, I want my kids to be happy. I want a happy home. I want this. I want that. And to me, like for my fitness girls, you know, I call that squishy goals, right? Those are so like high in the sky goals. Like literally, like if we were closed doors and no one was going to judge you, truly, what would you want? And maybe it is that declaration that you said, like, I want to be an interior decorator, or, you know, I want to be a circus tamer, whatever it is, like underneath all the like nice to have layers, like truly, like if you had to do this for the rest of your life for the next 10 years, does that like having the nice house, the car light you up? Or would you rather sit in a treehouse and paint for the next 10 years?
And that's where that is, why it's easy to kind of go with all that like surface level, is because then we have to, if we say it out loud as to what we really want, there's a lot of change, a lot of things that we have to let go of or embark out on, and it gets real scary real fast.
Yeah.
So like when I work in my framework that I work with women, I'm like, we don't get to talk about how until week six. There's no how. We don't worry, because if you go to how on week one, you might as well have not have come,
right?
Because you're not going to get anywhere, because there's always this like fear of, you know, we talk a lot about fear of failure. Like, oh, right. If I say I want to do that and it doesn't work out. No, that's not what people are afraid of. They're afraid of, holy shit, this is, I'm actually going to do this. And then right. who's going to feed my family? And oh my gosh, I like am responsible for this. And how would I be able to do this? We go to this place of right. It's gotten so big before we, just from the, I want and fill in the blank, it like fills us with fear. So it's just easier to be like, I just want everyone to be happy. Just yeah. want everyone to be happy. Just want to have connection with people. And a lot of women who come to me say that they're coming just because they want a passion project. Because that's easy. Like let's add on something over here. If we add on, then we don't have to deal with what is actually already in our life and so forth. And right. so, but by the end, it's like we've peeled it back and really got to the place where, oh my gosh, like this is really what I want. And they get to the place where they understand why. This is, I'm sure, also with the women that you work with. If you yeah. don't have a why,
ugh.
you're gonna give up on day two. It's like it reaches, you have to have it hit that place that you're like, now I'm willing to do. Now we can worry, though, how is not even a big deal in week six, because we are so charged up that this is what I'm meant to do and I have to do it. Like it is my, I don't like to use purpose because I feel like we all have had different purpose, kind of similar to what you were saying. For the next 5 years, this is what we can all have, chunks of, this is what I'm called to do right now.
Right.
It doesn't have to be our forever thing and so forth. But it gets to the place where I get them so charged up on, this is what I need to do, that then it makes the doing it less scary than week one when they were, I don't know, like, maybe I just need a little bit more, you know, I need a hobby because I'm right. just not fulfilled.
Yeah. And, but I also feel like, you know, everything you said, I hear a lot, even on the weight loss side, is that it's because one, they might perceive it to be too hard, but also for you on the job side, I'm being selfish because I might be taking time away from the family. I might be selfish because I might have to ask that someone cook dinner on Tuesday night so that I can go to class or I can do whatever it is that I do. And my role has always been, you know, chief house organizer. And now I have to ask for help and support. And you know, I hope that women listening have that type of family who's like, hey, girl, you do you, versus, oh, wow. That's going to be a big shift. You know, that's going to be a problem. You know, I hope that women listening have that problem, or maybe in my head, I feel like I can't ask.
That, I think that's where it is, because obviously if probably even with me, if my husband all of a sudden said, I'm no longer going to mow and I need you to help mow, I'd be like, oh, what the hell? I don't want to have to mow. That's your job. Right.
Right.
But then, so our instant reaction is always anytime there's a change in our families, the instant reaction is like, ow. And then I feel like we like back up right away. Right. And so then we're like, oh, no, 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 I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to like, but what I came to realize with my own family is that I was the one who was keeping them dependent upon me.
Yes.
I kept thinking that, what is wrong with these people? Why can't they figure this out? Until I wanted them to figure it out. And then I realized I kept stepping in and just doing it for them because I was controlling what I didn't trust. And I didn't trust that they could do it right. So I was just doing it myself. And so for me, I realized that I was doing them an absolute disservice. Like I actually started doing more work outside of my house, even because I worked from home for 23 years. So that I couldn't be here. So that they had to figure it out because they are going to be going out into the world on their own. And my oldest son emphatically declared the other day that none of us can come to college with him, even though there has been a lot of discussion, like maybe we could just move with you. So we can't go with them. And so I do think that there is this, it's like a mathematical equation. We think that, you know, our time for ourselves plus the time for them is all there is. And we, everything that we give to ourselves, that's subtracting from what we can give to them. When in actuality, I like to think of it as a multiplication, that the more we give to ourselves, the more we can give to them. And thus it will make it all better, you know, in the long run. And we need to model, like we need to model the behavior that we want our children to have for themselves and for their spouses going forward, that everyone needs to be able to do the work that they want to do in the world and, you know, and have the ability to do that.
So I want to come back to what you said, which I feel is a majority of the people listening here is that we want to help. However, we don't let our families or whoever you're going to support actually do the job. I feel the need to hop in and micromanage that, you know, say it could be as simple as grocery shopping. And, you know, maybe there are some specific brands that you really just want. And other times you can give a shit. And I feel like, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you're texting at the store, make sure you buy the one with the green label, not the purple label, and this, or cooking, like, oh, make sure you chop the garlic in this particular way or not that way and put the garlic in before the onion or whatever. And I feel that a lot of the people who you're asking are like, you know what, don't want to put up with that shit.
Exactly. And there were so many times that I did jump in and was like, no, that's wrong. That then all of them just got very wary. Like, I can't touch that. Right. So I'll just keep hands off. And it isn't because they didn't want to help. It was like they were scared to help. And so I had to, I remember when I had my first son, I had a C-section. And so then I couldn't like lift anything, you know, for the 2 weeks and so forth. So I was like, I have to, like, our laundry was in the basement. So I'm like, my husband was going to have to do the laundry and so forth. And it was hard because is he going to sort it the way that I would do?
Clothes this big?
Exactly. It's like, you know, all the things. But then I realized, like, do I want to be doing this right now? No. Like, I have to, like, my kids, as long as they put their clothes away, as stuffed in as they may be and so forth, it still gives me pause. Like I won't be like, oh, that ain't been a big deal. But the reward of them doing it so that I don't have to is, and there's always going to be the things that like, I won't give up, you know, like this is my piece, that is your piece and so forth.
Right.
But no, I definitely think that even if those who are listening aren't consciously thinking it right now, I would grown, like get awareness around how much are you kind of controlling the narrative. And in my family, what was even more detrimental was that I wanted to keep the peace. So I have two boys, I have a husband. One of my boys is just more challenging. And so I was forever playing the referee. Like, I will tell him. Nope, I'll tell him. And then I'll tell him. I will go back. I was going back and forth and so forth. And I was creating more tension as a result, because they could then no longer have a conversation and so forth. Then I was so afraid to be gone, because how are they going to, and things would blow up and so forth. So in that same, what I called my summer of independence, where I rented office space and left each day so that they could like alter their way through, I also stopped playing the referee. And even to this day, so this has been 2 years, my husband would be like, can you tell them I need them to do this? I'm like, you have to tell them. Right. But I can see why he comes to me, because I was always like, no. I'll do it. So we're creating, when you were saying your chief household, you know, caretaker, we are kind of the wizard behind Oz. Like, we are creating the dynamic. And so thus, if we need the dynamic to change for us, we do have it in our power to change to do it. That.
Right.
But it will, I mean, if they're always being cared for, why would they want to care for themselves? But it'll all work out. That is a small piece in the grand scheme. But I think women use their, especially obviously moms, use their families as their excuse. I have to put my family first.
All the time. One of my clients, and you know, sad story, you know, her husband got laid off during COVID, and she was the sole breadwinner. And I was like, okay. And she's like, well, but I can't work out anymore. Why not? I need to be on call all the time. I can't lose this job. And I was like, I'm like, so when do you hang up? Like, when's your like end time? When's your start time? What happens in between those hours? Can you take lunch? You know, so it's like, so, you know, the stress level of being the sole breadwinner just blinded her from everything. And I see it all the time in women, is that, oh, I got to be at every baseball game. I have to be at this. I have to do this. I. And I'm like, if you sat down with your kids and said, I'm taking a 6-week course so that mommy can get a different job, I don't think there is a kid that would say, no, mom, you can't.
And I would go even further, that they would be offended to think that we would even worry about that. Like, I know that everyone in my family would be, if they thought that I was making decisions based on them, would feel badly. Like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have meant for you to do that. And so forth. We never even get it to that place. We never even get to that conversation. We already decide, oh, this isn't going to work for my family.
Right.
And again, it's an excuse. Those are this, because we're not willing to then, it's easy to then be like, I'll wait until they are, that's another one. I'll wait till they're in elementary school.
Yeah.
I'll wait until they're in middle school. I'll wait till they're in high school. I'll wait till they're in college. At this point, like, they're gone. Like, we just keep moving the marker forward because we say we're not ready. And the time just isn't right. And I'm like, you know, the perfect time and a magical unicorn is exactly the same. They don't exist. Like, now is just, you know, as good a time as any.
Yeah. I feel like the excuse bin just straddles both areas, you know, the fitness world and the actually changing your life that, you know, that you hate. And you talked about the why a bit ago. And I think that is, you know, it's a starting point for me and it's a starting point for you, because for me, I'm like, my why is what drives me when it's 2 degrees outside, when it's snowing outside and I don't wanna. And it's my question that I'm laying in bed and I'm like, is this going to get me to where I want to go? And that is what is my motivation. You know, I think so many women are waiting for motivation or inspiration or someone to ring their doorbell and say, here you go. And, you know, as much as I say it, I'm like, I want that too. But I know that that, you know, magic bus is right there with the unicorn and the rainbows and the fairies. That's not driving down my street. And the day it does, I will share it to the world.
Exactly.
But you're the fairy. You're the unicorn that has to rise up and get, you know, for me, when I changed my job, I just had to get so freaking pissed off. Like, I just had to get so mad at the, like, constant churn of bullshit in my job that I was like, there's more to life than this. And, you know, I don't feel like women should get to that point where, like, there's more to life than this.
Exactly. And I feel like so many, they get, you know, it's, they get so angry. And for so many, a lot, your family is in there, right? Like, yours was pointed at your job in itself.
Right.
But when you start pointing, like, part of, like, oh, I can't do this because of my family, you start to resent your family. Then your family does not want to be resented. And so you have to create a why for yourself. That's where those like squishy goals on the outside of like, oh, I just want my family to be happy. Well, your family's going to be happy if they don't ever have to do anything and they can just come and go as they please. And, you know, is that really serving anyone? And so I think that that's similar to what I was saying with the women that go through my program. Like, they get so charged up that they have to do it. Like, it is finding that tipping point. But as long as we stay in, I'm not ready is a neutral position. We're not getting ready. We're just, to your point, waiting for the ready fairy to come and clear our schedules and clear our minds, clean our house, and give us all the roadmap as to where we're supposed to go next. And that doesn't happen. Like, nobody's coming to save us, my friends. We have to save ourselves. So yeah. And it's got to be something that's for us. And it cannot be a should. Like, I should go back to work. That isn't, like, where shoulds show up when we're doing something for someone else. Or I should stay home. Or I, you know, all the shoulds are always a red flag for me on, you know, and I always tell to my clients, like, you know, same with yours. I should walk 10,000 steps every day.
Right.
And then you say, okay, so now reframe it and to say, I can walk 10,000 steps a day. I choose not to because, so that you get to that place of like, it's too hard or it's too much. And that's another thing that I think we both have in common. All of these goals are big, hairy, scary, big. And if you look at it as itself, I myself have lost 160 pounds. I get it. Like, you can't, if you look at that whole big thing, you're never going to do it. You're never going to do it. It has to be in those tiny incremental changes. You don't have to, like, find a new job tomorrow. You don't have to find a new purpose tomorrow. Like, it's what is the next right step to get you to where you need to go?
Yeah. And just as you described it, I feel that, you know, because I'm like, my career, we turn it into this, like, you know, huge cloud, versus just looking at the little raindrop. It's like, okay, let's just start with what do you like? And we can kind of, you know, stair step our way to the cloud. But exactly. It's like, there, you know, I feel like it's just the way our education system works is that you have to define what it is that you want to be and then back your way from the end goal versus now that you've done it that way and ask yourself, did it work? Like, you know, when you declared that you wanted to be an interior designer, you're like, well, yeah, that way didn't work too well. And it's like, okay, but out of all the things I've done or all the things I enjoy in my life, I'm going to start writing those things down and, you know, start to whittle away from what I like to do versus, you know, what I can do. And maybe start with the things that, like, if I never see this on a job description ever again, I am happy as a clam.
That is a huge part of my Igniter program, in this idea of, like, first kind of harvesting out of past dream. Like, I wanted to be an interior designer. The job, as it turns out, wasn't as creative as, you know, there's a lot of, with every job, there's a lot of that comes with the good, right? So it's going into there and like, what did I really love about it? I loved creating something out of nothing, like being able to take a challenge, like this is a problem, and design a solution to it. I loved being able to interact with people and be creative in my ventures and so forth. One of the jobs that I wanted to be when I grew up was a Rockette. Never had the legs for it. Never going to happen. But looking back at it, and this is what we do, is like, what did you want to be when you were 10? What did you want to be when you were 15? Because there's a piece of what that was that you still want.
Yeah.
So for me, for Rockette, was all about, I mean, it's that synchronization, that community of women, and being able to perform. Having that opportunity, that's why I love to do speaking. I have my own podcast because I want to, you know, so that's those pieces. It's like, you know, my son, when he was little, wanted to be the security guard at his school. And my husband's like, oh, you can't be a security guard. Like that's, I have bigger plans for you. I'm like, he's five.
Right.
For him, that is protective. That is like being able to be at his school all the time, like right. being able to give back. That's what you look at in our child's dreams and our own child's dreams. And then start pulling those together with what are all of our own superpowers, the things that we love and why do we love them, and our mad skills. Because this is the other thing. We think, oh, well, I can't do that because I don't have a degree in that. So yeah. I'm going to have to go and get another certification or take another course. And I'm like, no. In my Igniter program, there's no, like, we're going to find you something that does not require you to go and spend more money on a degree that nobody cares about.
Right.
You have 30 years of experience doing all the things. It's about cultivating out the ones, and you made a very good put. We make a whole list of the things that we're amazing at, and then we cross out all the ones that I'm amazing at it, but I don't want to do that anymore.
Exactly.
And then, so then you can say, this is what I want to do. And so when you, like in my program, if it's like we come to our, these are my superpowers, this is what I love, and these are my skills, and this is best package. And it's like, if I could have a role that hits all of these, I mean, that's utopia, right?
Yeah.
And that's doable. Like, but we always go to, oh, let me just go to the job boards and see if I fit into one of
right,
these.
Right, exactly.
As opposed to, do they fit into what I want in my life? And so we write a job description. Like, this is the job description that I'm looking for. And then you have that as a filter. And it's amazing because there's this feeling of like, oh, well, I'm at the mercy of all these other companies, as opposed to going in and like, they are freaking lucky to have you. Like
yeah.
go in and tell them how you can change their bottom line, their culture, their camaraderie, whatever it is that you bring to the world. Plus there's so many opportunities to take your, what you are amazing at. It's like you and me, we took what we're amazing at and we're doing it on our own. There's this whole like entrepreneurism, solopreneurism is a consultancy, and it isn't hard to create in the right. grand scheme of things. And so why not get paid for your fabulousness on your own time and your own terms?
Yeah. You know, as I, you know, go down the realm of entrepreneurship, you know, I define it, right? There's so many things that I get to define. And, you know, maybe if you're like, entrepreneurship isn't for the faint of heart. So there's one. But two, if you choose not to, maybe there is that conversation with your boss to say, you know what, this is what the description looks like, but here are some other strengths that I have. You know, can you see me growing the role to include some of these things? And, you know, unless you said, you know, I want to, you know, train monkeys on the side, I don't think most people would be like, that's horrible. Don't you think about bringing that here? You know, if it's something that can enhance the bottom line to a company, they're probably more likely to be like, huh, never thought about it. We just literally filled out the req because HR told us how to fill out the req.
Exactly. And I think that comes down to self-advocacy, which is no different than those who don't want to rock the boat with their families. Same with their company. Like, this is what I was hired to do. So this is what I'm supposed to do forever.
Right.
And so we feel like we only have two choices, suck it up and stay or leave.
Right.
And neither of them are good. So that's where knowing what you're amazing at and seeing and always looking at where you can use those to enhance the situation around you. This is within your families, within your volunteer roles, within your work roles. It's not about complaining. I think so often, and we know people are like, I hate it here. Talk to their boss. I'm like, I hate it here. Well, that's not helpful for anyone. And no one wants that energy. But the energy of like, I noticed that this is never getting done correctly. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would be the best person to do this. One of my close friends is, she never went to college. She'll be the first to tell you that. We all have our story, right? The first thing that we tell someone. And now she's in her 60s, has an amazing, amazing job. She runs a huge facility. Those in the Boston area, if I told you the company, you would know exactly where she works. She worked at a company as a single mom, and she was like, as an office manager, and she saw that like there were so many things around the office that weren't getting taken care of and so forth. So she wrote a job description herself saying that I would like to, as the office manager, take care of this whole facility and so forth. Take care of like supplies and, you know, if something needed to be changed or we need to order chairs, yada, yada, yada. They were like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then from there, she reached another company to another company. And now she has a huge career in facilities management that is an enviable position that she
created
from just the awareness of this is what needs to be done. And that's where we find that why for people. It's like, what is the world missing? What is my world missing?
Right.
So, and if you're within a company already, what is missing here? What is missing that I could fill? And then bringing it forward in a way that you're just selling. You're just selling how you can make it better for them. Like, yes, there will always be the companies that are like, not doing it, can't do it. But then you decide to go and take that idea
you take
somewhere
your talents
else.
Elsewhere.
You gave them the chance.
Right.
Then you can be like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman when she goes back to the store the next day. She's like, remember when I was here?
Right.
You didn't help me? Big mistake. Huge.
Right.
Huge. Then you go on and do your own thing and so forth.
Well, and it's funny because I remember when I was still in corporate, I was leaving my job and I was going to another job, and the HR person, and like, and usually you got like, for some reason I got the VP of HR. Usually they give you like some underling and you spend like 20 minutes like, you know, it wasn't a good fit and, you know, whatever your tap dance is. So the head of HR, like, was like doing mine. I'm like, oh, is Sarah out sick? Like, I was just like, why am I talking to you? And he's like, oh no. He's like, you know, you're an integral part of this company. I was like, all right, check your face, Kim, because I'm like, that you're full of shit right now. And so I said, and he goes, you know, so seriously, Kim, he's like, you know, you've been here like 3.5 years. And he's like, you do a great job. Like, you know, why are you leaving? He's like, you've never been in my office. There's never been any, you know, scuttlebutt about you. And I said, I'm like, the job doesn't offer me what I want to do. And he looked at me like, what do you mean? And I said, I told them, I'm like, I didn't want to travel as much anymore. I would easily come up with ways to make it so that I didn't physically have to be there and I would be on call during those times, but I didn't physically have to, I don't want to fly 100,000 miles anymore. And he was like, oh, and he's like, so that's all it would have taken. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, that seems pretty fixable. I'm like, apparently not. And he was just like, you know, in my head, I'm like, it was fixable. I gave you solutions, but you chose that, like, the person in my role physically needs to get on a plane every 2 to 3 days to do bullshit stuff that I don't need to do. A salesperson can easily get a box and a set of instructions and do exactly what I did. And I would save you money on my money, flying me, hotel, food, but you'd rather lose me completely to not have me fly. And, you know, you never know. I was Pretty Woman. It was that easy to save you.
Yeah, exactly. But also in your situation, you had brought that up, but there's so many times when I feel like people are leaving companies and they're like, when they're having that conversation that you're like, well, you never said anything. It's like, that's on us. Like, self-advocating is not our strength.
Right.
You know, as a gender is just not.
Yeah. And I look back at that time and I was like, I had some balls on me. Like, I was a 35-year-old woman, right? I was like, you know, like, I was like, it's still like the like young tier in my job. And I was like, God, I had some balls. Like, I literally was just like, I was so sick of, like, I never bought groceries. I never could make plans. I was just like, so like, this is like, I was having that, you know, is this my life moment? And I'm like, okay, I'm like, is there a way? And it was just, you know, and it's that, and when you have those thoughts, sometimes you can easily talk your way out of it. It's like, what if I get fired? I'm like, at this point I wasn't married. So I had no, like, if I lost this job, I was like, well, Starbucks. Like, that was what I'm like, I can make a coffee, I think. But it was like, I just look back at some of like the ballsy stuff that I did that I didn't have the words for it back then, but I was just so getting so frustrated. And I was like, I could either fix this or if they, you know, all they could do is say no. And if they said no, what's the worst thing I had to do? Find a new job?
Exactly. And that's that same fire, the same fire that you had to get to that place to be able to advocate is that same fire that I want everyone to like build up to, like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to move forward. I can't. It's like seeing a crack in the ceiling, you know, like you see a crack and you're like, now I can't unsee that.
Right.
Like,
now, every time I walk into this room,
all I can see is that freaking thing. That's what I want. If anyone today listening is just like, oh, I am not living wholly in my life. Like, my wheel is a little on the wacky side. I am all family, all like putting it into my work, but I myself don't feel fully whole. And that's the thing. You can do something about it. It's not, you're not a tree. You can get up and move and, you know, and you can move forward and you can go back to work and you can find a new job and you can excel within your, it's about, again, switching out of that, I'm not ready. And what does ready look like? Like, yeah. That's the other thing. I think there's that a visualization.
I love that. What is ready
look like? Because, and how does it feel? And how does it, because again, when we just say, I'm not ready, you're like, oh, you're not ready? Like, oh yeah. Like, again, we go to like, because ready, clearly I can't be this exhausted and this overworked and this, you know, and so forth. But there's no discussion of like, what would that look like? And then again, backing it up. If that's what ready looks like, what do I need to do incrementally to get ready? And I also think that everyone needs to put it in their timeline. We need to put a pin in this map. Like, we have to have a time that we're going to get there, because this whole, like, when my kids this, like, no, I want a date.
Right.
And that you can work back from. If you ran track, if there wasn't a finish line, you would just run and run and run.
Right.
You'd run yourself ragged.
Running that oval till your legs fell off.
Exactly. So when are you going to, you don't have to be ready tomorrow. Like, there's always this place of like, yes, I'm not ready. Like, you don't have to be ready tomorrow, but right. How can we get you, when
let's put
does
a,
this?
Let's put a start date on this.
Exactly. You have to put it into your timeline and you have to visualize what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, and how you will know that
Yes.
you're there. Like, what is it like? Not just like, oh, I'm going to feel energized. Like, no, literally, like, what will you see? Like, is it this on your schedule? Is it that, like, what tangibly right. can you see so that you know you've gotten there? Because it's no different than, you know, every time we meet with our financial planner and he's like, oh, you're on track. You're on track. And my husband will work until he's dead because it'll never be enough. Right.
Yep.
So he keeps moving. So it is for, I'm not ready to retire. I'm not ready to leave this volunteer role. I'm not ready to change jobs. I'm not ready to go back to work. It doesn't make a difference. It's that same, like, we keep just pushing that timeline further and further out because that's safer. That's more comfortable and I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. And it's, and I like that because I also hear the same thing, or with people talking about, okay, rewind, I just lost my train of thought. I liken it to sports season. Like when you talk about track, I always talk to my clients about seasons. And, you know, if I look at my family and if I'm using my family as my, oh, it's not the right time. Like, look at what your season is. You know, maybe you have kids who they're in baseball and from April through May, you're carting them off to practices. Great. Then April and May, we're not going to talk to you. But when the season is over June 1st, what's the plan? You know, it's like, where can we put you in? Because I think about, like, you know, football. I'm dating this episode. I usually don't like to do that, but it works for this occasion. Football season's over. So if you are a football player, you have nothing to do on your schedule until August. Your schedule is wide open. So during that, like, downtime, that off season, you have plenty of time to get something done. But don't call me in August through February because that's my busy season. So I always, you know, as in this way, like, ask yourself, like, what does, like, if you say, I'm not ready, well, what does ready look like for you? Let's start to define that. Now that we have a definition, when can we start to put this the steps into motion to kind of get you closer and closer to your goal? And if you're like, well, my kids, I'm like, when's a less busy time for them? And then slot it in there. And that way, you know, as you're, you can show your kids like, hey, you're busy too. So's mom, right? We're going to work this. We're going to figure this out so that we can have that meshing point.
And I think we so often think, like, you know, to do the thing, whatever it is, I need this much gigantic amount of time. And you'll never find that in your schedule.
Never.
Even in that, you know, yes, maybe in a, you know, in the football analogy, but then they've put off their whole life, right? During football season. So now they're cramming all the things in, you know, to the off times. It's so different than, you know, you and I think both probably combat the concept like, well, I can't do it because, you know, Thanksgiving's coming. And then we got the holidays and then January, I'm kind of exhausted. And then we have February to like May.
Right.
Is when,
and then it's summer.
And then it's summer. And then the school's starting.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and so forth. So it is that concept of like, what is the least amount of time that we can schedule that you will always have every single day? And then how can we break the big down to that amount so that, because we are all recovering perfectionists. We all like, it's all or nothing. If I can't redo my entire resume from top to bottom today, I'm not even going to start. I'm not even going to do one sentence. It's like, and we're never going to have what our mind thinks that we need for the big thing. And it's similar to, well, I used to run marathons. And so if I can't run 10 miles, then what's the point?
Why run?
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, put your shoes on and just go outside. Today, we're just going to put our shoes on. You know, like when I'm asking my clients to just break down, I use that as an example. Nobody am I working with is training for a marathon. But there's that piece of like, if you were, like, you don't just go out and like run 26 miles. Like, let's just, do you have sneakers? Do you have sneakers? You know, like that's the smallest incremental step. They're already like going over Heartbreak Hill. They can't think of anything else.
Yeah. And I love everything that we've been talking about. It's that, you know, the big thing, and I love that like our worlds cross in that like fitness as well as career here. It's like, what is it that you really want to do? Like start to just brainstorm, like let yourself free think. Don't feel like it has to fit into this like niche, this career. It's just like write it all down because it might come up to be like, you're going to be a dog groomer. And that has never, ever popped up in your world before.
Exactly.
You know, and I know that, don't come at me, human design people, but I know that people will do like the human design or the Myers-Briggs or all that stuff. Like I'm so, all of that has a place. I feel it does have a place, but nothing is going to get you clearer than grabbing a piece of paper and just sitting down and giving yourself 20, 30 minutes to just be like, this is what I love. This is what I hate. Like nothing is going to give you more than that. And don't be afraid to say, I hate. If you said, I hate filing. I mean, most people are paperless now. I hate filing. If I ever saw a job that said filing required, hard no.
Exactly.
So it's like we all have those hard no's. Like if I had to go back to a job where I flew 100,000 miles a year, hard no. Right. So it's like, just think about all the things that you did in your job that got you to the point where you're like, ah, screw this. Or to the jobs that like things that light you up. You know, maybe you like planning things and doing things, and maybe you become the chief planner for someone. I don't know. Or the facilities person who's like, hey, I saw all these holes in the facility. And trust me, I've worked for places where we had shitty facility people. And then I've worked for a place you had great facility people. And it's like night and day. Those people are like the angels that are going to the fast lane to heaven.
Exactly. They're the unsung heroes of, you only notice them when they're missing and they
right.
need them.
When the good ones leave, you're like, hey, how come this isn't happening more? Sarah left and you're like, Sarah was awesome.
Exactly. And I would say when they're focusing on what they love, I always am like, what are the name 10 things that you love to do? And they'll be like, well, I love yoga. Like, but I'm not going to be a yoga teacher. I'm like, that's not what this is about. Unless right. it is. Like, it might be that that's what you want to do. But what do you love about yoga?
Yeah.
I love to feel centered. I love to feel strong. So then we make a list of the why you love. So I love, you know, I love filing for those. I have one woman who's like, I love doing laundry. God love you, my friend.
Yeah.
But it is like, there's a beginning and an end. She loves being able to control the whole situation. She loves to have everything orderly. Like, so notice why you love things, because you can then create a role around order and organization and being centered and strong without ever doing laundry or being, you know, or doing yoga. It's about why you love something. So it's taking, with every question, it's always asking one more question. Why? Why will always get you to the root of so much.
Perfect. Perfect. So this has been such a great conversation. And I love the synergies that we've had between each other. And so I always ask my participants in the podcast, what's one thing that makes you feel magical?
So for me, I have a huge love and affinity to morning pages, which are three pages of stream of consciousness writing every morning. And it is how I tap into my intuition. And I feel like we don't like to quiet our minds because then comes all of the crazy
noise.
Talk and so forth. And so we, you know, we stay in busy and so forth. And that is 20 minutes of my day that I get quiet and I just write and write and write. And to feel that connection to what my knowing is wanting me to do and pointing me and finding the answers. Like I'll be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about this offer. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this client. And it always comes. And that, to know that I can tap into that any given day, is pure magic.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love asking this question because I get so many different responses when I ask that question. And so where can people find you on the socials?
So all of my socials are at Just Janessa, so J-U-S-E, and then Janessa is J-E-N-N-E-S-S-A. And yeah, so that's, and I am on all of them at the same, with the same.
And I just, don't worry, folks, I spelt it here, so don't worry about it, that you're like, wait, was there two N's?
Exactly. Please?
I've already spelled it, and I've linked it in the show notes. And also, you mentioned that you have a program. Is that open to anybody?
Absolutely. So my program is an 8-week small group program called Ignite Her. And it is a program for everyone that we just talked about. The, oh my gosh, I'm not living a whole life. I don't know where I want to go. I know there's more for me. And it's all of the structure, support, accountability, and a crap ton of exercises that are all about conjuring up our dreams. And so I have a special link for your guests to get early access to the next cohort that's not open yet and a discount. So I can send that off to you.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So all of this, again, is going to be in the show notes. And, you know, it's, so even if you're not at that, like that, oh my God, get me the hell out of here moment, I feel that all of us can take a reassessment. You know, my husband is going to retire soon, and I'm like, you're not staying home all day. You need to figure out something. I don't know what you got to do, but you got to figure out something. So, you know, even if you're at that point of like, what's my next chapter look like? It's a perfect opportunity. And you know, I'd rather you have that time where you have a little bit more space and you're not in the like, oh my God, I have to find something tomorrow.
Exactly. Because there's a lot of fear that comes with that. And there is that like, oh, I have, you know, so it's lovely to have a little bit more space around it so that you truly can just play.
Yeah. All right, Magic Makers. Absolutely look her up. If you have questions or something resonated with you in this episode, do me a favor, screenshot this and tag both of us in the socials. All right, Magic Makers, enjoy the rest of your day, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.